Good morning. First case this morning, State of Ohio versus Jermaine C. Baker. Mr. Gallick.
Thank you. I would ask to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, Donald Gallick once again for Jermaine Baker, arguing before this court. As the court is aware, this case was before it one time prior on a jurisdictional matter, and it was reversed and remanded. We're back for a second time discussing the ubiquitous issue of Old Chief versus United States. We seem to be in a position where pretty much all of the case law suggests that this case has to be reversed. The only issue is how far does it need to be reversed when it gets remanded back down. Now, the case law that I have cited, case law that the prosecution has cited, and there's even some case law that the amicus brief has cited, you know, the issue of Old Chief versus United States, you know, must apply to Ohio cases. Now, how far does it have to apply? What, you know, does a defense counsel have to do to sufficiently stipulate to preclude introduction of prior criminal convictions, introduction of journal entries of convictions? That's an issue that there seems to be some disagreement on.
Does Old Chief, is it really dealing just with the evidentiary matter, or are there constitutional implications to this?
I think that is a great question, Mr. Chief Justice. And certainly, you know, we've cited a lot of other cases where a lot of the courts don't get to the constitutional issue. Now, there's some cases outside of Ohio. I believe I cited a case from the Supreme Court of Kentucky, which obviously is not binding on this court, but it could illuminate the issue, where they see this as a due process issue, that when you have a defendant and he's going to be tried for a crime that happened in January 2009, and the prosecution says, well, this guy is a career criminal. He has convictions from 2003, 2005. Is that a due process violation? The Supreme Court of Kentucky says that it is. There's some other cases in the Sixth Circuit and other cases in Ohio intermediate courts that talk about due process issues as it goes to rule of evidence 403, rule of evidence 404 violations, which I see as very similar to the Old Chief issue. But the cases don't specifically say if you don't apply the Old Chief holding, then you're committing a constitutional violation, whether it be a 14th Amendment due process violation under federal constitution or Article 1, Section 16 of Ohio Constitution. This court certainly should entertain that issue and should provide some clarity to that. But the main thing we're looking at right now is the Ninth District Court of Appeals says we do not apply the Old Chief opinion. They're the only district that says that, and they seem to be the only court in the United States that says that.
Mr. Gallick, the matter of State v. Baker was here in April of 2009, and you argued it to us, and
yes,
we improvidently allowed that case and dismissed it.
That's not correct.
That's not correct.
Exactly. It was Jermaine Baker, Your Honor, but unfortunately, Mr. Baker has multiple problems.
Well, let me ask you something. I'm looking at an entry of our court dated April 15th, and it says the cases are dismissed sua sponte, has been improvidently certified and accepted. Are you telling me that's not right?
I don't believe that is Summit, and perhaps I'm the mistaken one, but I don't believe that's 2006-09-3464. I believe that's a case where he had the unfortunate sentence of 30-some years. This case, I believe, we're talking about an 18-month sentence that he's long since passed, but the issue still remains.
My point is that the same issue in this case was raised in that case.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Your Honor. I've raised it in many cases.
So the Old Chief issue was before the court about a year ago, and we dismissed the matter as improvidently allowed.
That's exactly
and
correct.
And you were counsel.
That's exactly correct.
One of the facts that's different about the 11th District case and your case is the defendant in the 11th District objected to the state proceeding. Now, an examination of the trial transcript indicates that the court inquired as to how counsel chose to proceed. The prosecutor offered a means, and defense counsel agreed with the admission of these journal entries of conviction into evidence.
That's right.
And it says, you know, I have two convictions, and Mr. Summers says, that's how I would prefer to handle it. I mean, I could read it to you in some detail. It says, they contain other convictions, and we will redact those, and we will offer them into evidence. And the defense counsel says, that's the way I would prefer to handle it. So you really don't have a conflict because there's no objection.
Well, except, Your Honor,
is that a basis for us to dismiss this case as improvidently allowed? Because there's no objection to the manner in which the state has proceeded here.
Well, Your Honor, that would certainly go to my ineffective assistance of counsel and plain error analysis.
Is that before us here in this court? Did you raise that?
That was raised before the Ninth District.
Wasn't raised in our court, sir.
Well,
you have a certified conflict question that we accepted. And my point is that there's not a conflict because the defense counsel agreed with the state submitting the journal entries of conviction.
But we never get to that point. Relevant here today.
We do Justice. Get to it because in Old Chief, the United States Supreme Court said a court abuses discretion under Evidence Rule 403 if it spurns the offer to concede and admits the judgment over the defendant's objection. We don't have an objection here.
And, Your Honor,
we have agreement.
Your Honor, that should have been the Ninth District opinion, perhaps, but it wasn't. The Ninth District says we don't apply Old Chief.
Nonetheless, we're going to apply the law here and write a rule for everyone, and we want to do it in a case that's properly before us. If we've already improvidently allowed the other case where there was no objection, why wouldn't we improvidently allow this one,
Your Honor,
where there's no objection?
I don't know why the prior case was improvidently accepted. There was no reasoning given. If that was the reason the last time, then certainly that would apply to this one. But you're running into this problem. You're creating this nightmare in the Ninth District where
I'm creating a nightmare, did you say?
Perhaps not you, Justice, but the system. The system is because you're saying, well,
you are trying to have the appellate judges in the Ninth Circuit, in the Ninth District, adopt Old Chief as judges in the 11th have.
And everywhere else in the United States. I mean, even the prosecutor cannot find, you know, cases where they say we do not apply Old Chief versus United States. I mean, there's no one who agrees with the Ninth District. That's the certified conflict,
well,
Your
counsel,
Honor.
Well, counsel, wouldn't you agree that if there is objection, as Justice O'Donnell is pointing out from the record, that we don't it's a very different situation than all of the other courts in Ohio and across this country?
Well, the problem is, Justice O'Connor, is that people, defense attorneys in Akron don't raise this issue because it's never successful, because the Ninth District doesn't apply it.
Well, then when one of those cases is ripe for appeal, maybe we should address it when the defense counsel has not acquiesced to the introduction of the previous convictions via journal entry.
I certainly understand that's a good question to ask. The problem is we're looking at State versus Cole, where the Ninth District said we do not apply this U.S. Supreme Court case. That's a 2000 case. We have 10 years of where this issue has not been raised. Now, I'm doing everything I can to get it before this court, so the court will just say, yes, you have to apply Old Chief versus United
States. And
this
happens how frequently?
Well, Your Honor, for me, I think this is at least the third, perhaps fourth case that I've raised it. I believe the prosecutor will be able to tell you that it's coming up quite frequently
in more
cases.
There should be a case in the pipeline, if there is not already, that would meet the standards and mirror the cases in the other jurisdictions where they applied Old Chief.
And I understand that, Your Honor, but you have all of these cases out here where defense attorneys don't bring up this Old Chief issue.
My point is, if we can't establish a credible rule of law to be applied to all cases, if the circumstances that give rise to this case are not on all fours with Old Chief or any of the other cases such as the 11th District, that's our problem. We can't ignore what the record says that Justice O'Donnell so aptly pointed out.
No, certainly we don't want to ignore that, but we're solely on a question of law, and that question of law is, does Old Chief apply? The Ninth District said Old Chief does not apply.
So regardless of the posture it got to us in, we still have the Ninth Circuit saying Old Chief does not apply as a matter of law, and the other district saying it does. That's the issue you're
exactly correct, and that is exact conflict. Could the Ninth District said yes? Could they say yes? We are going to apply Old Chief versus United States, but defense counsel in this case did not avail himself of that right, and we're going to do a plain error analysis, or we're going to do an ineffective assistance of counsel analysis, or we're going to do a harmless error analysis. The Ninth District could do that, but they're not doing that in any of their cases. They say it does not apply, case closed.
What about the distinction that the state of Ohio wants to make between the federal rule and the Ohio rule in terms of how much you can go into the specifics of the case?
Well, I think the prosecutor raises some salient points in that. I've had benefit of talking to the opposing counsel in this case about Old Chief more than either of us ever wanted to do. And certainly I think the state's position is, and they can speak better than I can on it, but the stipulation has to, I think the term they like to use is track the statute. You have to be prepared to give them a full stipulation. I certainly couldn't come up with an intellectual argument against that. That's certainly a reasonable position by the state. The problem is this is creating problems for the state as well, because they're having case after case after case where no one knows how to proceed because the Ninth District is a deviation from the rest of the appellate districts. If the Ninth District just says, yes, Old Chief versus United States applies, but in this case, defense counsel did not avail himself of that. The defense counsel waived that issue. Defense counsel didn't do what they were supposed to do to use that right. We wouldn't have this certified conflict here today. And in the instant case, if the Ninth District were to say, well, Baker's attorney didn't properly invoke his right to stipulate to keep these journal entries away from counsel, and it's not ineffective assistance because of these other reasons, or it's not plain error because of these other reasons, then there would be harmony within the districts, and we wouldn't have the certified conflict we have here today solely on the legal issue. It's because the way the Ninth District issued this blanket statement of law that we're here today, and which is why I disagree respectfully with Justice O'Donnell's view that, you know, we're not here because of trial counsel's trial conduct. We're here solely because of this blanket statement of law the Ninth District has put forth.
Counsel, if maybe we could move on to what that blanket statement of law is. And your argument that Old Chief applies on a plain reading of it looked like the Supreme Court simply applied the federal rule of evidence to a federal case. And why would that be binding on the state of Ohio under a state case?
Well, and that's a good question, Justice Kupp. And as I was discussing with Mr. Chief Justice, you don't get to the constitutional issues in most of these cases. Now, there's Sixth Circuit cases where they talk about if you violate Rule of Evidence 403 or 404B to such a wide extent, it could turn into a due process issue. If you bring in prior bad acts, prior convictions, it could turn into a due process issue. A strict reading of the original Old Chief 1997 opinion, you won't find that language in there. They don't go that far. They say that if you have some case such as weapons under disability and you're willing to stipulate that there is a prior felony conviction, they don't, then you have a right to do that. They don't get into the federal constitutional issues. So could the state of, I don't think the state of Ohio could say you have fewer protections than under the federal statute. But certainly there's no binding authority on this court saying that it must be considered a U.S. constitutional violation, because I don't believe that's what the U.S. Supreme Court said. So your question is very apropos.
Mr. Gallick, with respect to this particular case and what did come in the form of these journal entries, what's prejudicial about what came in this case?
Well, you have a situation where the jury hears that, you know, Mr. Baker has prior drug conviction, has a prior robbery conviction. Now, once the jury hears that, and there's a case law cited both by me and the prosecutor and also the amicus brief, that once a jury hears that this person is essentially a career criminal, he's going to be convicted. You know, he's got a robbery conviction. Is that relevant to, you know, the facts of the indictment? Well, only as to he has weapons under disability. Does the jury have to be told that he's a robber? Does the jury have to be told that he's a drug dealer? Or can the jury just be told he has a prior felony record? And does that create undue prejudice? And at some point, could that become a due process issue? The original old chief opinion doesn't get to the constitutional issues, but certainly you could imagine the other Sixth Circuit case law and the other Ohio case law, State v. Allen, I believe the amicus cites, where you talk about prior convictions can be so prejudicial that you can't even use a curative instruction. I believe in this court's opinion in State versus Allen.
So your concern is that the jury here learned specifically the nature of or the identity of the crimes, something more than was necessary that had he simply admitted that he was under disability and had committed crimes of that nature.
That's exactly right. I believe defense counsel in this case, as an armed Monday morning quarterback, is easy for me to say, but we want to stipulate, Your Honor, we want to tell the jury he has a prior felony record. They don't need to know that it was a robbery conviction. They don't need to know he had a second drug dealing or drug possession conviction. That's going to prejudice the jury. Just let's tell the jury that he has a prior felony record. That's all they need to know. Let them decide the facts of the indictment. And that's what I believe old chief mandates, and that's what certainly the 11th District is very clear. That's how cases proceed.
Thank you, Mr.
Allen. I'm not entirely clear what it is that you're asking us to hold, that the Ohio rule of evidence should be interpreted the same way as the federal rule of evidence, or are you asking us to rule on the constitutional issue that beyond the rule of evidence, it's a constitutional requirement?
I would ask you to rule on that constitutional issue, please. So you could do that now for me. I'd really appreciate it. But I know realistically, courts generally do not decide constitutional issues if they can decide on other grounds. So as the old chief versus United States was not decided on constitutional issues, I would be very surprised should I, you know, get the golden ring of this court saying that, yes, it's a constitutional violation. You know, the 11th District case law is very clear. The Tortorella case and the Hatfield case is very clear. If this court adopts those 11th District rulings as controlling on the entire state, all of these problems will go away.
Counsel, before you sit down, the defendant has to show prejudice to warrant a reversal, right?
On the substance, yeah. Could there be a harmless error analysis within this? I'm sure that's correct.
Okay.
Can you apply old chief and then say old chief was violated, but under harmless error statute analysis, it wouldn't have mattered?
I imagine that's possible. Precisely, given the volume, bulk, credibility of the other evidence that is presented at trial, this may very well be a moot point.
No, I agree. I could see if it were to be remanded back to the Ninth District and they apply old chief and they say, well, yes, you know, but it's not ineffective assistance of counsel. It doesn't rise to plain error. But they are applying the U.S. Supreme Court case that is applied throughout all the courts in Ohio and the Sixth Circuit. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Cassay? Cassay? Thank you.
Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court, may please the court. My name is Richard Cassay, representing the state of Ohio in this case. When I appeared here in the last Baker case, which was about a year ago, I said then that whatever the court holds regarding Old Chief is academic to Mr. Baker because his convictions in that case had to stand. I can say the same thing with all honesty in this case, as Justice O'Donnell has pointed out. This issue has proved to be an elusive target, at least from the Ninth District Court of Appeals. I understand that. I'm not going to address that further. The court is fully aware of the issues here. Under no circumstances can Mr. Baker's conviction be reversed. So I'm simply going to talk about what I think Old Chief means for the state of Ohio. Now, the way I read Old Chief, it was an interpretation of the federal rule of evidence, Evidence Rule 403, dealing with a statute, an armed defendant, where the federal statute made any felony an element of the offense. In the words of the Supreme Court, anything from aggravated murder to short lobsters. Now, I am not aware that there is any similar statute in the state of Ohio where any generic felony is an element of the offense. There may be. I couldn't find one. If there is, then that's a good template for Old Chief. But what we have in Ohio, specifically the weapon under disability statute, is two subsections, A2 and A3, and A2 talks about, as an element, a prior conviction for a felony offense of violence. A3, as it concerns Mr. Baker, is a prior conviction for possession, sale, distribution, trafficking of an illegal drug of abuse. So that language in the statute is completely different from the language of the statute in Old Chief. The language in the having a weapon under disability statute specifies what the jury has to find. I'll just talk.
Well, counsel, in this case, what did defense counsel offer to stipulate? What specifically did he offer?
In this case, defense counsel stipulated that Mr. Baker had a prior conviction for robbery that was the offense of violence, and he stipulated that he had a prior conviction for possession of cocaine. That was the element under A3. And he said specifically, I am stipulating for purposes of identification. So state, you do not have to prove that the person in your journal entries is the person sitting in court. Then the court asked defense counsel, well, how then would we handle the journal entries that the state had? The court suggested we can redact. There was one entry that needed redacting, and the court said then we can submit those to the jury. And as Justice O'Donnell pointed out, defense counsel said that is the way I would prefer to do it, give the journal entries to the jury. And that is what occurred after one entry was redacted. So this is why I say there's no possibility of Jermaine Baker getting any relief in this case.
Mr. Cassay, is there any other state that has taken the position that Old Chief applies to its own law?
Sure. There are several of them, and I put them in my brief. A Supreme Court of Kentucky, Supreme Court of Georgia, there are others. I didn't think I did an exhaustive search.
But they've basically accepted the rule in toto and applied it to their own state law.
As it applies to state law, to their particular state law, yes. I'm not going to stand here and say that this is some aberration where the defendant can complain about prejudice flowing from a prior offense.
And is that because in those states they use that generic term, any felony, the way the Old Chief decision did? If you know,
I don't recall. I think the more common view would be that the defendant has the opportunity to stipulate to the language in the statute. Now, Mr. Gallick said track the statute, and that's correct. I believe I'm not going to stand here and tell a court that the state can introduce a prior conviction of rape to prove the prior felony offense of violence in a weapon under disability case. That's not right. So what I'm suggesting, and as I've argued, I hope clearly in this brief, is the trial court should have discretion. What is the prior offense? And if the defendant wants to stipulate, the court should determine, is that such a prior offense that would be that exclusion would be mandatory under the Ohio rule, under Evidence Rule 403 in Ohio?
Hypothetically, Mr. Cassay, what would be your position if the defendant, Mr. Baker, here had indicated he would stipulate to an instruction to the jury that he had a prior conviction and the jury needn't make a finding about that, but he would object to the introduction of any journal entry being submitted to the jury?
If he would stipulate that the jury would be instructed that had he a prior conviction for a felony offense of violence, and then he objected to introduction of the journal entry
of the specific evidence of that journal entry of the conviction.
If the court accepted the stipulation, then the court should not admit the journal entries because that eviscerates the stipulation.
And that would be in line with the holding in Old Chief, would it not?
Yes.
And
Does that happen in trial courts in Summit County or in the Ninth Appellate District? I mean, it seems to me like we have an aberration of the facts where after the stipulation is entered, the stipulation is to admit the journal entries, which is in violation of what happened in Old Chief. That's the problem.
Well, I'm not going to defend that. If the court accepts a stipulation, the court should not admit the journal entries.
So question is, what would be your position then if the defense would object to the introduction of the specific journal entry? Would that be satisfactory from the standpoint of your prosecution and your office?
Yes, it would be.
And that would be in line with the holding in Old Chief?
Yes. The court... If there is a stipulation, a proper stipulation, and the defendant objects to introduction of the journal entries, the court should not admit the journal entries.
So are we really down to a matter of educating the criminal defense bar in the Ninth District to object and telling them what they should be doing in trial practice when they're involved in these situations?
That's not the function of this court, I don't believe.
You're suggesting your office doesn't object to that, and courts can follow and read Old Chief if they choose, and if there's a problem with it, we get it on a properly presented case instead of trying to fashion a remedy around the facts in this case.
That would be a better vehicle if there were an objection and the objection were overruled and the entries came in. I have no argument with that point of view.
Do you agree as a matter of law, though, that the Ninth District is different in its interpretation of Old Chief? It does not apply Old Chief?
No. The leading case from the Ninth District is State versus Cole. Now, they made 3 points, the Ninth District in Cole, K-O-L-E. Number one, the U.S. Supreme Court was interpreting a federal statute. Okay, that's not a real big distinction in my view. But number two, they said in Old Chief there was an objection, and in Cole there wasn't. Number three, and I think number three is the real distinction, and that goes to the fact that in Old Chief the statute made any generic felony relevant. Now, Cole was a weapon under disability case, where the Ninth District properly said, here, this statute specifies as an element that the prior conviction has to be for a felony offense of violence or some type of possession of an illegal drug of abuse.
Do you see a distinction between how the other counties in Ohio interpret Old Chief and how Ninth Circuit, are they different as a matter of law, regardless of how the posture of the case got there?
I don't think they're that different, Your Honor. There are several appellate decisions from Ohio that make that distinction, that versus generic felonies versus a specified prior conviction element. So I don't think the Ninth District is an aberration. The Ninth District has recognized in State versus Johnson that there could be prejudice. It's possible. And that's true. There's no doubt about it. Getting away from, I understand the issue, but getting away from the problem of whether or not this case is a suitable vehicle, to my view, it's pretty straightforward. Let the trial court exercise discretion.
Well, counsel, it was suggested that since, for the last 10 years or so, there's been no defense counsel that even attempts to object to the introduction of the prior convictions or to take it to appeal because they know it's futile. Is that an accurate statement?
Well, they're still taking it to appeal. I get Old Chief issues not in every case, but it's not that unusual for Old Chief to be raised as an issue. But for some reason, and I cannot explain it, there's some practice where these journal entries are coming in.
So the journal entries are coming in, and at trial, the prosecutor and the defense counsel stipulate to the prior offenses that are relevant to the trial charges. correct?
Yes.
And then the judge still brings in the defense, or excuse me, the journal entries. Is that what they're stipulating, or is the defense counsel thinking that they're stipulating to the entry of the journal entries into evidence?
Well, I don't know that they — I'm not quite sure what they're thinking. Now, Baker's attorney agreed to the admission of the journal entries.
Exactly. That's what — I mean, there's a distinction here between I'm going to stipulate that I've got this — you know, these prior convictions, and let's just move on, as opposed to I'm going to stipulate that this piece of paper says what you say it says, and I'm going to allow it into evidence. And you know, there's a distinction there, and is the Ninth District looking at that type of a distinction in any regularity?
No.
Should they be?
Yes.
Is it raised in that and framed in that type of a problem that I didn't mean to stipulate to the introduction of the journal entries, I just meant to stipulate to the prior convictions that are relevant to the charges at hand?
I can't recall one of my appeals where that it's been framed in that fashion.
But isn't that the framework under which you have to view these objections? Or
The old chief issue, certainly, if you stipulate, then as I've said several times, you're not going to put in the journal entries. That's not the point of this. If the point of the stipulation is to prevent the jury from knowing the exact type of conviction, then you don't put in the journal entries.
So it's the method of stipulation that we're talking about here, not really whether Old Chief applies, it sounds to me.
Old Chief, in the transcript of the trial, I don't see the words Old Chief mentioned. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much. Now, Mr. Gallick can perhaps educate me, but I don't know that this was an Old Chief case to begin with.
Isn't it basically come down to evidence rule 403?
Yes.
I mean, it's...
It does.
It's just a plain common sense. Every trial judge ought to understand that, ought to protect the record.
Yes.
And you shouldn't be in this soup.
I agree 100%. That's what ought to be happening. The trial courts ought to be told, you have discretion to allow the stipulation if the prior conviction is one that might unduly prejudice the defendant.
Mr. Cassay, let me ask it this way, and I've listened carefully to what you said about the trial court having discretion. Does Old Chief stand for the proposition, or should we have a rule that says the defendant has an absolute right to admit or stipulate to those prior convictions alone and thereby have a right to the exclusion of the other material?
The defendant would only have that right under the Ohio Rule 403 if the prior conviction would make its exclusion mandatory.
And under 403, the Ohio rule...
There are risk of undue prejudice. I'm paraphrasing the rule. But if it were, then he has an absolute right to have it excluded. But that decision involves the exercise of trial court discretion, whether or not that prejudice threshold is reached. And all I'm saying is let the trial court do what it's supposed to do.
But on the flip side of that, absent prejudice, the defendant doesn't tell the prosecutor how to proceed with their case.
That's correct. The Old Chief is very clear that the prosecution has a right to present its evidence in a continuous story with evidentiary depth. As an aside, it's Old Chief is a superb forerunner of what's now known as the CSI effect. And what the danger that is, the dangers of that type of thought. So, to sum up, I think Old Chief as a balancing test.
Mr. Cassay, let me just ask one further follow up. If there is a stipulation, the defendant admits to those offenses.
Yes.
Isn't the rest of the material not admissible because it's not even relevant? that there doesn't even need to be a showing of prejudice. What's the relevance of the rest of the material if there has been an admission or stipulation by the defendant to the element necessary to establish the disability?
I believe, Mr. Chief Justice, your question is referencing a situation where there's a stipulation and the material is admitted anyway. Then that's a pure harmless error question. Okay. Is it harmless error or not?
Thank you, Mr. Cassay.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Gallick, you may have 1 minute.
Thank you. This cannot be disputed. Old Chief opinion came out by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1997. We're here 13 years after the fact. There's no Ohio Supreme Court opinion saying that they've adopted the Old Chief case. If that was a one-sentence opinion saying we adopt the reasoning and Old Chief versus the United States, as the 11th District Court of Appeals has done, I believe the 5th District has done, we wouldn't be in this situation.
Right. Counsel, do you agree that there is no right to have the evidence excluded absent prejudice?
I think that's correct. The Old Chief opinion, I think, finds that it's an abuse of discretion when you refuse to allow a defense attorney to stipulate where stipulation that meets the entire element of the weapons under disability statute.
So you're saying that prejudice then isn't put in the mix there?
I believe
the way you're looking at Old Chief, you're saying that there is a right of the defendant to have the admission, the stipulation made and nothing further. And what, you know, our question is there a right to have that evidence excluded absent prejudice?
Well,
which goes to the question I asked Mr. Cassay about absent prejudice. Where's the defendant's right to tell the prosecutor how to proceed with their case and what order and what evidence to introduce?
Your Honor, when I use the word right, I'm probably not using the proper word.
I would agree with that.
Well, because certainly some courts have said this could get into a due process issue, and the due process clause would give you a source of those rights. But generally, it is rule of evidence 403, rule of evidence 404, and so we don't really think of a rule of evidence embodying a substantive right. But I know this vehicle is not the best vehicle to get us to the destination, but it's here and now, and the longer this goes on, we've had 13 years, we have more and more cases that are going to end up in federal habeas because cases out of the Ninth District, there are cases, and I've cited them, where they say we do not apply the holding of Old Chief. They're very bright line about it. It's not
— Gallick, if we did adopt the holding in Old Chief and gave the one-sentence opinion that we will adopt the holdings in Old Chief, that wouldn't govern the facts of this case, would it?
Yes, it would, because then the Ninth District would have to determine, is there a plain error analysis? Is there an ineffective assistance of counsel?
Why would the facts in Old Chief where the defendant offered to stipulate to the conviction but not to the admission of the journal entries govern a case where the defense counsel agreed to the admission of the journal entries and stated on the record, I prefer to handle it that way? Why would that be governed by a case where the court says, if you object, you don't have to admit them, and we'll honor the stipulation as to the existence of such a conviction?
Your Honor, I think we're
Wouldn't
making
it be factually
our own point.
Distinguished?
Because the defense attorney who says, yes, let's give the jury journal entries of my client's criminal history, I would say that's ineffective assistance of counsel. I mean,
well,
you could
that's
say
your judgment a, about it, but the fact is that Old Chief is limited to its facts, and you want it to extend now to a wholly new situation that we have presented here.
No, Your Honor, the Ninth District could say we apply Old Chief, but it wasn't ineffective assistance of counsel to hand journal entries of Mr. Baker's criminal history to the jury.
I know
jury.
You want to talk about ineffective assistance, but you didn't bring that issue to this court in this case.
It's in the Ninth District opinion.
But it's not before us.
Because we're here on a limited certified question. There's no conflict.
Thank you, Mr. Gallick.
Gallick, thank you.